Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to the City on the Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we would ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us. Come and learn with us. We are just so grateful for the gifts that God has provided for the radio show. They have really been magnificent in giving us just timely and great information, certainly a lot more than the soundbite you hear, and one that will give you really powerful tools and embolden you for such a time as this. But as always, please tell your friends and family, go to www.cityonahill.tv and listen also to the podcast. We have such a great archive, and many people are using it as resources. For example, we just had an interview yesterday with Mrs. Alois Zena, which is the president of the Alabama Federation of Republican Women. And she was so gracious, and she gave us really the details of what is going on with Alabama's immigration policy. These are things she probably will not get to hear in the news, but she broke it down about what they are trying to change, and it is so important for the state of Alabama and really the whole country. So we encourage you to please go to our podcast and also to tune in like today. And so I'm going to go ahead and start off with saying hello to Pastor Wayne. Hi, sir. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Finishing up the week right, aren't we?
We are. And I just love what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be talking with our dear, wonderful friend, Mrs. Annette Griswold. We just love her. Hi, Mrs. Annette.
Hello. How are you today, Diana?
Well, I'm great because you're on the show and Mr. Wayne's on the show. And Mr. Wayne is a pastor. He's a man of God, a former teacher. He taught civics. He taught history. He's just really a great teacher, still is teaching. And also, Ms. Annette, you yourself, you're a great Wealth Bible Prophecy student, teacher, and you've been doing it for decades. And we're so grateful that today we're going to end the week with you and Pastor Wayne really giving glory to God from whom all our blessings flow. And with that in mind, Pastor Wayne, would you mind starting us off during prayer?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we start this show, Father God, we come to you. This is the end of the work week, Lord, and we thank you, God, that we've made it through another one, and that, Lord, we're just trusting you to get us through the weekend and praying for blessings the week to come. But, Father, as we open this show, Lord, we just give it to you, Lord. We lay this show on the altar. We ask that your Holy Spirit will infuse us, will quicken us, Father God, to speak the words you would have us to speak to the audience who needs to hear the words that we're saying. And, Father God, we pray that, Lord, you will anoint us, Father God, and that the words we speak will be seeds planted in the hearts of the listeners that will grow forth and bring good fruit. Father, we pray the blood of Jesus over this show and, Lord, over the audience who's listening, Father God, that something we say will stir their hearts and their spirits to act and to move, Lord, to in this country, Lord, at this time of trial and crisis, Father God, this turning point that we're at, Lord, because, God, we stand on the precipice, Lord. We look into the abyss, and, Father, God, we pray that, Lord, we can turn this back, Lord, to get as many souls into the kingdom as possible these last days. And, Father, we just praise your holy name for the privilege of broadcasting in Jesus' name. That, Lord, we still live in a free country, Father God, where we can speak the word boldly and we can speak the truth as we see it for even such a short time as we may have left. Lord, let us do so. And, God, we thank you and we just praise you, Almighty God, for the blessing of being able to broadcast. And we pray, mighty God, to use us now this day. In Jesus' name we pray and praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Yes, Miss Nat, go ahead.
I am so humbled and honored to be on the program with Pastor Wayne.
Oh, I am too, Miss Nat. I'm just humbled at how God has put him in our midst. And I just really feel the presence of God in this show. And I was looking at my Bible just now, and I believe God led me to this. I'm in John 3:16, but before John 3:16, I'm going to read this as fast as I can because I think it's wonderful. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that really stood out, but also, verily, verily, on 11, it says, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And I just think, too, and he refers to the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I think to myself, what's going to change this nation where we're going is really the people of God are repenting and coming before him. But hopefully there will be more people who are hurting that will be drawn to him. And they, when they are born again, they will be able to understand things that they have never been able to understand before. And I think that's where we've got to go. More people have got to know about the truth about Jesus Christ, the Savior, where, you know, John 3:16, we hear that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it changes us, right, Miss Annette? It changes us because we can learn more. We can see things different.
Well, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. You know, I like John 3:17, too. Sometimes, you know, we don't include John 3:17, but it says he came not to condemn the world, but save that which was lost. And so if Jesus doesn't condemn, neither should we condemn. You know, all he requires of us is to love our Lord, our God, with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and love our neighbors, ourselves. And we're not to condemn. But now we can be fruit inspectors, you know, in Galatians, it tells names of spiritual fruit that Christians should bear. So we can be fruit inspectors, but not know, not to condemn people. But we do have the precious Holy Spirit to guide us. And he's just so much a part of our everyday lives. Before we get into it too much, is it okay if I just share a personal experience that you and I had yesterday?
Oh, please do, Miss Nat.
We've just, over the years, the Lord has just done remarkable things for us, and we could just fill a book with the miracles that we have witnessed that the Lord has done in our life. But yesterday, our little granddaughter, she's married and got two children. She's a new Christian, and she, when she gets upset, she calls and wants us to pray with her. Well, she called yesterday morning and wanted us to pray. She had lost her ATM card, and she had just looked everywhere for her ATM card. And I reminded her of how God helped me find some lost keys one time supernaturally, and that he would, you know, he would find that ATM card for her. And so we prayed with her, and then Yul and I were about to have our morning devotion and prayer time together. And before we even got into prayer real well, the phone rang, and she said, "Oh, Mimi, I found it, I found it." It was in a box that I had looked in already four times. So you
see
how God works. And there's, I mean, the benefits of being a Christian and having the Holy Spirit in our lives are beyond measure.
That has happened to me. That has happened to me so many times. I've been trying to find something, and you get frustrated, you start getting angry because you can't find it, and then you just have to stop yourself and say, "Lord, okay. Lord, please, in Jesus' name, show me where it's at." And and then it's like all of a sudden you just know. You just go, and you go right where it's at. And it may be someplace you looked before. And sometimes I wonder if maybe God's got an angel to pick it up and put it where you can find it. I don't.
Brother Wayne, I totally believe that. I'm sure this. I shared it once before on a program. I don't know if you heard it or not. But years ago, you and I, we were in the nursery and landscape business in Troy. And he had a flatbed trailer. He was loading up some solid sod. He had a flatbed truck and then that low boy type trailer. And he had it loaded down with sod. But he asked me, I had my keys in my hand, he asked me if I would go hook the trailer to the back of the truck for him. And so I did, and I laid my keys up on the back of the truck to hook up the trailer. Well, I forgot to pick them back up, and I saw it going down the hill, and I saw those keys. And I began to yell and holler, but I couldn't get his attention, and we didn't have cell phones or anything back then. And some people did, but we didn't. But anyway, when he came home, I asked him if he found my keys. He said, no, he had not seen them. So I just thought they'd slid off somewhere. They were gone. Well, two or three days later, I looked in my kitchen cabinet drawer, and there were the keys. Now, I believe an angel put them there because I saw those keys on the back of that truck when he was driving off, and he had not seen them. So I believe Lord. Oh, another experience yesterday. I don't mean to get into personal experiences.
Oh, no, go
ahead.
We need it.
But yesterday, he's just recently retired, and oh, he's so excited over catching up with 50 years of work that he's neglected over that period of time. He was sitting on a little old plastic stool out here on our patio, and the patio at that point where he was sitting was probably about 20 inches off the ground. And the leg on the plastic stool broke, and he fell out backwards on his back and neck.
Oh, no.
And he says he's just a little bit sore from it, but you see, the devil intended that for bad. You could have broken his neck or his back, but I believe the Lord had his angels there to make his fall easier. That's the way we live.
Wow. Well, Mr. Nat, Pastor Wayne, I think... Now, this is really in line with what I was thinking. I was talking to you about that, Ms. Annette, about we have to be like little children in putting our faith and trust in Him. And, you know, it's all about obedience and trust. And I think to myself, isn't that really what Benjamin Franklin was referring to, that God sees even a sparrow
Yeah.
You know, a little old sparrow. Don't you think he sees what you're doing, what your needs are, even the small detail of your life? And I remember John Osmo saying, you know, pray for your parking spaces, which I do.
Yeah.
And enough to the world's eye, that might seem silly, right, Miss Annette, to the world's eye to pray for these little things. But as you were just showing in examples, God is so good. He wants us to give
Jesus
small things and big things.
Jesus.
I'm so completely amazed. You just think about it. Yeah. This whole big world, everything's got to be fed and everything taken care of. But still, God cares about the sparrow. And if he's got the hairs on our head numbered, you
Amen.
Know he's got his angels in charge watching over us.
Well, what bothers me is I can understand the world not understanding these things. But when you have Christians who have lived in church all their life, heard the word spoken, have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation multiple times, but it's like they've got it compartmentalized. It's like, okay, well, that happened in the Bible, but it doesn't happen now, or it won't happen to me. And, you know, when you start talking about angels and devils, and they look at you like you're crazy, and I'll say to them, do you believe in the Bible? Yeah. Well, it's in the Bible. Well, yeah, but what? Well, yeah, but that's in the Bible. That doesn't have anything to do with here. And I don't understand it. The Bible says that settles it. The Lord has the hairs on our head counted. You know, you talk about, we have a God of battles. I remember hearing a testimony one time, a fellow who was deathly allergic to bee stings. And he was sitting on his front porch one time, and along come this big old wasp, and it was buzzing around his head. And the guy was afraid to brush it off, because you know wasps, if you try to brush them off, they get mad and they will sting you. And he knew if that wasp stung him, it would kill him. And he was sitting there just in a cold sweat on his front porch, this wasp buzzing all around him, he was just terrified that this wasp would decide to sting him. And he said, Lord, help me. Please, God, help me. And all of a sudden, he said, the most beautiful butterfly came along and chased that wasp away.
Wow.
That is the God we serve.
Well, God uses angels, but he also
sure
uses nature to help us. Where we live, there's rattlesnakes all around in the summertime.
Yeah.
And last year, our dog was instrumental. See, my husband's hard of hearing. Our dog was instrumental in locating, I forgot if it was three or four now, rattlesnakes that Yule couldn't hear. But the dog found them because he was there. So I know God, that's just another humbling thought of how much he loves us, that he even had the dog there to reveal the rattlesnakes. So God
Isn't
is everywhere. I mean,
May I tell a story? I mean, I'll try to be brief with it. I don't want to filibuster here, you know, because I want to hear what Miss Annette says. But you talk about angels, and I believe in guardian angels. And I believe I gave my guardian angel a ride one night. And people will think, you may think I'm crazy. And that's fine. It's a divine madness, and I think heaven's going to be full of nuts, at least if I read my Bible right. But it was in 1988. It was 1987. I'd just gotten out of the Army, and I was seeking direction. And I'd stayed up in North Carolina to finish my degree, my bachelor's degree in history. I'd moved around with the military, and I decided, well, I'm going to finish up my degree up there where I was going when I was on active duty. And I'd been given severance pay from the Army, which is a miracle in and of itself how God brought that out, and we don't have time to go on that. But I was starting to run out of money, and I'd applied for a student loan so I could finish my bachelor's degree. And at the same time, I'd gone before the ordination committee to get my minister's license. And so it was Christmas, and I was going to go home for Christmas, come home to Alabama for Christmas with my parents. And I was going to get up the next morning, early in the morning, and drive. It's about a 12-13 hour drive from Fayetteville, North Carolina, back down here to home. But you know how it is. You got a big trip the next day. You can't sleep. So I decided I just packed up my bags, and I left about 8 o'clock that evening, and I took it off and started driving. Well, I made it to Atlanta, and I was getting tired. And so I decided I'd pull off at Conyers, Georgia. Now, there was a lot in my mind right now because I was really praying about what to do. There was the urge to come home to Alabama, where I had family and that. But I had a ministry up in North Carolina, but my money was starting to run out. I didn't know if my student loan was going to be approved or not, to help, which would help me get through the end of the school year. Didn't know if I had any options or whatever. I didn't know if I'd been approved by the ordination committee, because when I set up there, there was some questions as to whether I'd been back in the body of Christ long enough to get my credentials and what have you. And so everything was up in the air, and I was just praying for guidance. And so I pulled off at Conyers, and I had, you know, had some eggs and some coffee. And I got ready to leave. And I was talking to the waitress, and in the course of time, mentioned I had a long way to go. I'd come from Fayetteville, North Carolina. She said, "Well, where are you going?" "I'm going down by Dothan, Alabama." I said, "Well, that's a long, long place to drive. That's a long way to drive in one shot." I says, "Yeah, but it's really not long enough to stay over. So you just have to suck it up and take one trip. You know, do it in one trip." Well, there was a fellow sitting at the counter. He looked at me and he says, "You going down toward Alabama?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going, yeah." He says, "Could you give me a ride?" And the guy looked at me, had the most beautiful blue eyes I had ever seen on a human being. Just clear blue. I got goosebumps. And he was like a throwback to the late 60s, early 70s, wearing jean jacket and a blue jeans and a blue work shirt, and he was had like what little mall caps we used to wear back in the 60s and the 70s, and I said, "Well, yeah, I can give you a ride." He says, "Well, I really appreciate it." He picked up this bag. He had a little canvas bag, and I had a canvas bag that was exactly like that. Mine was OD green. It had been sewn together for me while I was in the 82nd Airborne Division by a rigger friend of mine, had made me a little bag to carry my stuff in. His bag was exactly like mine, except that his was white and had little daisies and flowers painted on it. Straight back out of the sea. My heyday, you know. And he says, "Yeah," he says, this is my work here. He says, "This is my paint supplies. I'm an artist. I paint windows." And he said, he wanted me to know if I could, he could take me to Conyers, if I could take him to Conyers. That's right. He wanted me to know if I could take him to Conyers. And I said, "Sure, I could take him to Conyers." And I was thinking it was on my way. So we started walking out, and I had some Jesus stickers on my car. He says, "So you love the Lord, do you?" I says, "Yeah, I'm studying to be a minister. I just went for the ordination committee, waiting for the results." He says, "That's good." He says, "I'm getting a lot closer to the Lord lately myself after some things have happened." He says, "I find my life is really turning around since I have." I said, "Oh, hey, here's a good chance to witness." So we got in the car, and I'm starting to witness to him. And everything I say to him, he has an answer that kind of turns it back, the witnesses to me. And it's like I get goosebumps every time he says something. It's the weirdest thing I'd ever experienced up to that time. So we pulled out on the highway, and I'm getting ready to turn and go toward Atlanta. He says, "Whoa, buddy, Conyers is back the other way." I says, "It is?" He says, yeah, it's back the other way about 10 miles. Yeah, I was so tired I didn't even realize I'd driven through Conyers. He says, well, just let me out here. I can hitch. And I said, "No, I'll take you. They're not expecting me until tomorrow evening anyway. I'm in no hurry. I'll take you to Conyers." "Well, no, it's a long way out of your way." I said, "No, it's okay. I'll take you." So I drove him back toward Conyers, and while we're talking again, I'm trying to witness to him, but this guy keeps witnessing to me. So finally he wanted me to drop him off at the Waffle House off the exit. I pulled him up in the parking lot, and he got out of the car. I said, "Will you take care of Buddy and have a Merry Christmas?" He says, "You too." And he leaned over in the window of the car, and he says, "Remember, when you follow the Lord, he'll take care of you every step of the way and provide."
Oh.
And I mean, I got goosebumps, you know, little, you know, Twilight Zone music. I said, "Yeah, thanks." And I rolled up the window and I started to drive off. And all of a sudden a scripture hit me. "Be careful to entertain strangers, for thus many have entertained angels unaware."
Right.
And I stopped the car right before pulling out on the road to go back to the, you know, the highway. And I looked in my rear view, and there was nobody in my rear view. And I actually turned the car around to look and see if there was anybody in that Waffle House. And the only people in the Waffle House was the waitress and the grill cook. The place was totally empty.
I believe it.
Now,
I believe it, Brother Wayne.
The kicker is, I went ahead and I drove on home, and I got there about 6 o'clock in the morning, and my mom was waiting for me. She knew me. She figured I'd get anxious, and I'd drive on through. So I got home. She had a big breakfast waiting for me and fresh biscuits. And so I'm, you know, you're sitting there, you're tired, you need some sleep, but you're still tense from the trip. So I'm sitting there having breakfast, and Mom and I are talking. She says, "You know, the weirdest thing hit me this morning." I says, "What's that?" She says, about 2 o'clock this morning, the Holy Spirit hit me, and I sat up in bed, and I began singing praises to God. She said, "Normally I would have been concerned about waking your dad up, but for some reason I just felt like praising the Lord this morning." And funny thing was, I must have prayed and praised him for about 30 minutes, and your dad didn't stir. I said, "Yeah, what time is it?" It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, 2 o'clock Central Times, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, when I was giving that guy a ride.
How about that?
And then that scripture came back. "Be careful to entertain strangers, for thus many have entertained angels unaware." And I remember one time I was going through a real serious trial. I mean, really rough. I was visiting a church, and this little lady came up to me, and she took my hand and goosebumps, and she says, "Remember, the finest gold is tried by the hottest fire."
Hmm.
And I went back to that church. I started going to that church after that because of that word that this little lady had given me. And I looked for her. Nobody knew who she was. Nobody had any idea who she was. And so I believe there are angels. Now, you can say I'm crazy. The Bible's full of angelic visitations.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Well, God is good. And Miss, you have said something, and I love to hear these stories from Pastor Wayne. It does give you chills, you know, when you hear the stories he tells. But Ms. Annette, you had mentioned something about the snakes, you know, how your dog had, you know, really helped find the snake. And, Ms. Annette, I just think about what's going on today. You know, he does allow us to see, unfortunately, the snakes in this world. And, you know, he's all in the details, just like Benjamin Franklin said, you know, and we forget. I think we have to come like little children and get in the habit of giving everything to God in prayer. You know, we expect our little children to tell us everything, and you know, the bad and the good, and we don't ever tell them, "Don't tell me these things," because, you know, we as parents have to know. And isn't that amazing? Because I think God is the same way. He wants us to tell him everything. And it's a habit he wants us to build, because it is so important to know, my goodness, he is our greatest help. Right, Ms. Annette?
Right. You know, James says we receive not because we ask not. So
amen.
Ask for his help. Now, he knows what we need before we even ask. but he wants us to ask.
Amen.
And I know my children, if they need something, they're grown now. My grandchildren, I still have younger grandchildren, but if they ask me of anything and if it's not contrary to God's will, well, I'm going for the best of my ability. I'm going to give it to them, and I think our Heavenly Father is the same way.
Well, you know, Jesus says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. What's the first letter in ask?
Oh, yeah, A.
what's the first letter in seek?
Oh, S.
And what's the first letter in knock?
Oh, wow, beautiful. Okay.
How about
thank you. I never thought of that. That's a good way to remember that scripture. Oh, thank you, sir.
I don't know if it works in Greek, but it works in English, and we'll take it.
And it's wonderful because we need to. I love that scripture. When I was starting the prayer journal, Pastor Ryan, I had asked God for a word, and He led me to that scripture, Matthew 7:7. I just cried because that was a Bible with nothing in between. But God is saying that is what I need to be doing. And Miss Annette, I just think you, of all people, I just look at your life and how you have invested so much in really protecting and defending our children. The future of the world, you know, is in the hands of our children. And you see so many things coming up to really try to take away the mind of a child. And Pastor Kerry Gordon from Iowa, who helped oust the three Iowa Supreme Court justices, runaway justices in Iowa, one of the things that he said is, you know, if a person came to your house and killed your children, that's bad enough, but you know they're going to heaven. But what's going on these days is destroying, really, the soul of the children that grows up to be adults. So really, it's worse than someone coming to kill your child, because the child is going to go to heaven, but what's going on in our education field, which you have been so deeply involved with, is a dangerous thing, not just for the body, but for the soul, which is eternal. And Miss Annette, you've been speaking about that for a long time.
Well, you know, it's a battle for the soul of America, really, because the children are the future. And if we don't stand in the gap and form a circle, like a wagon train circle, around them, well, the enemy is just going, he's going to get to them any way he can, and he's doing that in so many different ways. In the textbooks is one way, and they'll slip it in. Well, for instance, this Islamic religion, we can't have Christianity in the textbooks, but they have Islam in them now, in the social studies books. And it's just a chapter slipped in. These kids are, and I feel like I'm talking to the choir. I feel like other people have heard this so many times before. But these kids are told that they are to pretend that they're Muslim for a day, dress like a Muslim, take a Muslim name, do the Muslim prayer and all that. And can you imagine if a pastor went into a school and taught that? Taught that for Christians. Can you imagine what the outcome would be? The Planned Parenthood, for one thing, and American Center Law, ACLU, they'd be pouncing in there. But still, our children are forced it. And another thing is the homosexual issue. For years now, since I first became aware of it in the early 1990s, it's what prompted me to even run for the school boards, because I was so concerned about the group called GLSEN had set up headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, and their aim was to get homosexuality, the gay agenda, into the schools any way they could, through counselors, teachers, the textbooks, just any way they could. And Baptist Press exposed that, and that was how I found out about it. But in children's little readers now, as early as kindergarten, they have in there about Heather Has Two Mommies, Daddy's Roommate, and so many others. I had a list of those books several years ago. But we have to stand in the gap, and we need to, if you're voting for a school board member, you need to know what that person stands for. Are they going to go in there? Are they going to fight to protect the children from this kind of agenda, from homosexuality, from Islam? We don't just vote for a person because they're a good friend or next-door neighbor or we like the way they look. We need, then this pertains to anybody we're voting for. We need to know background on them and know what they stand for. So many times we're so disappointed when we vote for somebody. It seems like when they get in the office then, they don't even remember you and don't even remember the promises they made. So we need this upcoming election is so important. And, you know, Christians, we're the only ones that can make a difference because of that power of the Holy Spirit we were just talking about. And, you know, God's angels, His precious Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. And greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. If Christians would band together, you know, we're all familiar with that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will humble themselves, and He's talking about His people, the Jews and the Christians. If we really and sincerely, and Brother Wayne, it's like you were talking about, we have so many people sitting in church pews, they think they've done their duty then, and, you know, nothing else counts. But if we really got serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a lot of power there. We have the form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. So,
My brother's fond of saying Jesus offers us salvation, but so many Christians are just satisfied to take Saul.
Hmm.
You know, the only part of the package. And,
it's a new exciting day for a Christian. When we start the day saying, well, Lord, what you want us to do today, it becomes an exciting day.
Oh, indeed. And listen, I just think, and Pastor Wayne, you know, you have seen the power of prayer, and, you know, you're like a little child. You don't even think twice when you pray and ask for help for the car keys. It's an automatic thing. And isn't that funny? Because, you know, that's the way we're supposed to teach children, where it is automatic. It's automatic for them to learn about their math tables. But this world is changing that. You know, we see that in our schools. And I think to myself, we are taking away the greatest help this country has, because when you look at the conversations of the nation today, we want so-and-so because that's going to bring us jobs. This is going to turn things around because he knows about how to make jobs.
There was a fellow named Smith Wigglesworth. He was a Welshman. He was a plumber. He lived, I think he died in 47. He was part of the great Welsh revival at the early part of the century, and a great man of faith. This is documented, and I've done my homework on this fellow, because when I read about this guy, I said, I've got to know more about this man. He raised 7 people from the dead, documented. Some sources will say 14, some people say 21. But there are 7 cases documented. I'm talking about not hearsay, I'm talking about in the London Times. You know, reported this. These were official. Back when papers still reported it and hide stuff like that. Raised 7 people from the dead. Raised his uncle from the dead in front of the entire village. This was a man of faith. And people say, oh, this is crazy right now. This is, I don't believe this. I thought Pastor Wayne was smart. He's talking all this crazy stuff. Listen, Jesus raised people from the dead. The apostles raised people from the dead. And Jesus said, these things I do in greater because I go to the Father. You mean God has stopped being God? So what was the secret to Smith Wigglesworth's faith? And you look him up and you do the research. If you think I'm crazy, audience, you look up Smith Wigglesworth and read about this man. And don't go to some Christian source if you don't trust him. Go to secular sources. He's documented. He said, and this was something I worried about, how long do we pray? You know, I heard some people say we should tithe our time in prayer, and I figured that out. You know, if I tithe my time in prayer, that's, what, 2.5 hours a day in prayer at least. And I would try to be praying like that, and I'd sit down, I'm going to pray for 2 hours a day, you know, tithe my time in prayer. I want to be a man of prayer. And I'd get down on my knees, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd think, well, surely that's been 20 minutes. I'd look 5 minutes, and I'd pray longer, you know? Well, this wasn't me. There are people who could spend hours in prayer, and that's their walk, and that's their faith. But God, how do I can't pray that long. How do I pray like that? And Wigglesworth said it beautifully. He says, I seldom pray more than 30 seconds at a time. But then again, I rarely go more than 30 seconds without praying.
Hmm. Well, you know,
it's a walk with God. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Sort of a structured
thing that man has made. It's each individual. Oh, look, I cut off.
Oh, no, you didn't miss a minute. No. You didn't miss a minute. I was letting you talk. I was trying to hear what you were saying. Can you still hear us, Miss Annette?
Yes, uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. And I think I just love what, you know, Pastor Wayne keeps pointing out and what you're pointing out. But I think to myself, too, that we have got to remember in this election what the God's Word says in Matthew, I think, 6. Chapter 6, and it's about seeking the kingdom of God first.
Amen.
And everything else will be added. I think, Pastor Wayne, we think, okay, we it's like we have to have a man that knows business really well, because that's the only way this nation is going to be saved. Or we have to have a man that's going to get rid of all these policies so the government is out of our businesses, and that's how we're going to be saved. And then we're going to have a man that is going to do all these things, because after all, you can forgive me and trust me to do it, because I'm telling you, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking, wait a second, I think God tells us to seek his kingdom first.
We need a man after God's own heart.
Right. And you know, where it seems to be, not the mainstream media would tell us, that is not part of the equation. Let's get real. Let's get modern. Let's not use that crutch of religion. But my goodness, the founders did in everything. They acknowledged God in every step of the way and look at the blessing. And that's right, Ms. Amir, we have come away from that fact, that truth, that help, and I pray to God we remember that.
We need a man of God in office. We don't need to vote for someone just because we think he's the only hope to defeat Obama, because a man of God would seek God's guidance, and he would have all these things he needed, wisdom for making decisions or making appointments or whatever. And I don't think he'd need a whole lot of czars, because he'd have God as his advisor. So if we could just get a man of God. But you know, the way the political situation is, sometimes you wonder, well, why in the world would a God and a person run? Because it's so hard to run a campaign. Not only do they think it takes a lot of money, which I'm sure it does, but it's so grueling. It's just so hard. And not only do they rake skeletons out of the closet, they make up skeletons. They're not real.
No.
So you wonder why in the world God would want to run for office. But I pray that they are.
Well, Miss Anna, it reminds me of David. When you have somebody that's so close to the Lord, like young David was, and he's, you know, he's all pumped up because his God is a big God. He's walked with God when the lions and, you know, all that were out there with him while he was the little shepherd. And I think, Pastor Wayne, I think that's really the kind of man we need. Somebody that says, you know, is there not a cause? Because there's an awful lot of causes.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, when we're talking about this, the kind of man we need to run, and we don't see them. You have to remember, in a democracy, we are a democratic republic. We get the government we deserve.
Right.
And you know, in the 2008 election, I prayed and prayed and prayed for a godly man to rise up, and I had a lot of respect for John McCain as a man, as an individual. But he just didn't light the fire in me. There were others I wished. And when Obama won and I realized it was going to happen, you know, I remember waking up the next day after Obama won and just discouraged, depressed, and then the words, you know, came back to me that, yes, we live in a democratic republic, we get the government we deserve. And then I went back to Samuel, where the people of Israel demanded a king, and they got one. They got Saul.
Right. David, you know, in Goliath,
mm-hmm.
I was just seeing a few minutes ago on Fox News about what's happening between Iran and Israel, and they were showing the number of nuclear weapons they thought that Israel had and what Iran, well, it's not their weapons anyway, not nuclear weapons necessarily, but it's a showing Iran is way ahead in everything in numbers of defense weapons. And the thought came to my mind, well, you know, Gideon didn't need but 300 people. And when they start attacking God's family, that's what it is. That's Jesus' family over there. They started attacking Jesus' family. Well, the God of the universe that created everything, he's going to get in on it. Now, I know that switch that's going off on a different rabbit trail, but...
No, it's not. I think you hit a nail on the head, Miss Annette.
We don't need big. We need God.
Well, I think, Miss Annette, I remember this passed away with Pastor Kerry Gordon sharing with us when he took a stand against the runaway Iowa justices. And we heard that in the news that it was an impossible thing. He said he sent letters to 300, I believe, churches. 300 churches went along with him. 300 pastors prayed and preached for 2 weeks before that election. And again, there's that 300 where God is given the glory, right, Ms. Annette? And I think it's the same way here in this election. We're not going to see it happen until it happens and a miracle has come, because there's going to be pastors, I believe, that is going to be listening to God. I know I hear it in Pastor Wayne, and I hear it in some of the pastors we heard in that interview, but I believe that really God has chosen a man. There is a man who reminds me of David and all the presidential candidates, and you know, he has a value for God's ways. He values life. And to me, that's got to be the start of a conversation with anybody, is how do you value life and God's word, right? God's word and life. And we have such a man. It's not perfect, but we have such a man, and I think God can work with such a man for such a time as this, Pastor Wayne.
If we're worthy, and that's right. The big thing. Yeah, because, again, we live in a democratic republic where we elect our leaders. And if we're not worthy of such a man, we won't get one. And you know, and I'm reminded of look, God told I believe it was Thyatira. He said, "I'll throw you in bed with Jezebel if you want to stay there." And this is something as a people, as God's people, we have to get on our knees and we have to pray. And we have to stand up and stop laying down. And being afraid of offending people. You know, people say, well, that's offensive. Well, some people need to be offended. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me, Pastor Wayne, of that the thing with the Komen today where they had to retract because they were afraid they offended the homosexual agenda. I mean, the Planned Parenthood movement.
Planned Parenthood, the abortion,
And Miss Annette, but now, Miss Annette, you've been speaking to this for a long time. And it's, you have such love for God and love for children that it overcame the fear of offending the homosexual agenda, because you have taken a stand to protect the children. And I think we as a nation have to have people, if we're going to survive, that's going to be like that, that have to be like a David and said, you know, I'm going to stand. I know my God is almighty. And I think this really is a pivotal time for us, Miss Annette, because what you've been saying all along, it's almost at a fast pace with Obama and the Common Core standards, the national standards, almost at a fast, unending pace. And if we don't get the right precedent in there, I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be all over, and the mind of the child, which is the future, is going to be overtaken, unfortunately, with an agenda that moves it towards sin instead of God's ways.
Well, we have to occupy, not like that Occupy group that's no different from those rioters over in Egypt and Libya and Syria and those places. But Jesus tells us to occupy till he returns. So we go about the Father's business, enjoying the benefits of being a Christian, but still we stay involved for our children's sake. That's the way I see it.
Well, you know, people take occupy wrong. They think that's a passive term.
Mm-hmm.
Occupy, like sit in the pew and just sit
mm-hmm.
and wait until Jesus. Occupy is a military term. And I think I've said this on the show before. I'm also a retired military, medical retired soldier. When we occupy the position, we would send advanced party or scouts in there to locate the enemy and to engage. And then the main body would come and assault the position and seek and rout out, shock, overwhelm, and destroy the enemy, clearing them out of the area to be occupied. Then once we had eliminated enemy presence in the territory, we would move into the position and fully occupy it, bettering the position to prevent the enemy from coming back. And then once you've occupied this position, then you seek the next position to occupy, driving the enemy constantly back and making him retreat. That's occupy. And that's what Jesus, that's the term Jesus is using when he says occupy. It's not sitting back passively waiting for him to come. It is to aggressively go out. The kingdoms of God suffer violence, and the violence taketh by force. The violence taketh by force. It is a, we are to be moving the army of God, occupying this earth and holding it until his return.
Well, Pastor Wayne, we have an audio of David Parker that I'm praying to God we can let the whole country hear in all corners, because that should move anybody that loves children. What he had to undergo to try to get his kindergartner opted out of homosexual indoctrination in Massachusetts, which is what, unfortunately, one of our presidential candidates, he issued as a directive. It was not even a Supreme Court decision. He was not forced into it. He did it on his own with his illegal, unconstitutional directive to, you know, issue same-sex licenses for same-sex marriages. So, and one of the other candidates does not see homosexuality as a sin. And I'm thinking, wait a second, that's going against God's word, and you say you're a man of God. And a third person has moved, when he was in power in the House of Representatives as a leader, moved away from the social values. And yet we're expecting him to trust him with the highest position on earth, really. And so I'm thinking to myself, the issue of the child, if you're a parent listening, we pray you love your children very much, more than going to football games, more than taking them to ballet classes, and open your eyes and ears to find that there is a plan for your children. And Miss Annette has been fighting for that for decades. But you know what? She can't keep fighting for you. You have to fight for yourself if you love your child. And Pastor Wayne, Miss Annette, I'm just thinking of Nicodemus. There's probably a lot of Nicodemus that's in the secret, you know, secret out there. And but, you know, I think the Nicodemus has got to come out. We have all got to stand in the gap. Right, Miss Annette?
Right, right. Brother Wayne, I'm not a military person, but the word engager struck a note with me. We need more engagers.
That's right. Exactly right. I mean, when I was in, it's an interesting thing. When I refound the Lord, or actually Yeah, I refound and rededicated my life to the Lord and started getting involved in ministry. I was still on active duty. There were a lot of sergeants and younger officers who were entering the ministry. And I know this was back in the 80s. God was calling us into his service for a reason. He was wanting soldiers, military people, warriors. And we bring that mindset. Of course, he reforms us and we're reborn, and he renews our mind and spirit. But we bring a lot of this training. He uses, God uses everything you've done and everything you've been, good or bad, to his glory when you enter his service. And so I know God was building an army together because of all my fellow soldiers who were going into the ministry when I was going into the ministry. And this is a time for action. I believe Jesus is coming. We talk about the gathering of Israel, the clouds of Israel, and how they're outnumbered in the Middle East. If you look at history, since when has Israel ever fought against even odds? And when have they ever been beaten? The last time when they went into Lebanon, the only reason why they were not able to achieve total success was because the UN and the United States tied their hands from doing what they needed to do. You let Israel loose, they will get the job done because they are God's chosen people. And if you go to Ezekiel 38 and 39, you will discover, and I know y'all have, and many of the audience have, when the final showdown comes between Israel and her enemies, and I believe it's the last thing before the tribulation period, the invasion from Gog and Magog, God himself intervenes on Israel's behalf.
Well, he's going to intervene.
That's right.
And so what, if he said it, we better believe it, hadn't we?
You better.
Exactly.
It settles it. And so I'm not going to...
But
the Lord himself says in Luke, I believe it's 21, verse 23, he says, when you see these things come to pass, look up.
Right.
And I get the idea of look up and rejoice from the inference of that scripture, because your redemption draws nigh. We are here on the precipice of eternity, and that's good news if you're prepared. The book of Revelation.
And really, Pastor Wayne, isn't it? I think to myself, Lord, I need more rest. But really, yeah. I think the rest I'm going to get is his precious gift of rest. When that comes, it is going to be like no other form of rest I have ever imagined. And it's, heaven is for real. It's just like angels are real. Heaven is for real. For the listeners, it's really time for them to, I think, ask, what is this about the Bible that everybody talks about? Because really, it's important for them personally.
Why is it so controversial? The thing that struck me when I was in the world, and I was raised a Christian, and I was seeking and looking at other religions, the devil doesn't have any problem with any of the other world religions. You talked about Christianity. They can bring Muslim stuff in, but they don't want the Bible in there. Well, there's a reason. If you look at people who are into talking to dead and having seances and mediums, you'll find they never mention Buddha or Muhammad or any of the other world great religious teachers, but they're always trying to tear down Jesus. Why? Why is the Bible so controversial? Why is the name of Jesus Christ so controversial? It's because maybe it's the truth, and the devil can't stand it.
Well, Jesus conquers the devil, and the devil knows his time is short.
That's right.
He says he knows his time is short, so his wrath has been poured out. So greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Oh, let me just, I know time's running out, but I'd like to just say this. It's been such a blessing today, and it's so refreshing. And Brother Wayne, I think it's the first time I've been on the program with you, and I'm just so blessed by your comments.
Thank you.
I wondered when Diana called me, I said, what in the world are we going to talk about for an hour? And you know something? I could go another hour. It's been such a blessing. God bless you both. Before we get cut off, I want to say that.
See, Seems like the time flies when we get wound up.
Well, they won't hear our prayer, Miss Annette, but we're going to be praying for the listener to faith in Christ. He is the hope. He is the rest. Yeah. He is the peace. With that, would you mind, Miss Annette?
Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for taking charge of the program. Brother Wayne prayed to that effect, Lord, and you took over. And I just thank you, Lord. We didn't really know what the subject was going to be, but you knew what you wanted to talk about. And I just thank you, Lord, for bringing it to our mind. I thank you for the joy of serving you. And, Lord, I do lift up the listeners, Father. I just pray that everyone was blessed. Lord, someone listening who are probably hurting, who don't know which way to turn, Lord, help them to know that the answer lies in you. You have the answer to all problems. And help them to find your word, Lord, and get into it and see what your promises are. And that they'll learn to stand on those promises. Bless this program. Bless Diana for the effort she puts forth, Lord. And just I just pray, Lord, that it go out into all the world. And, Lord, it's up to you to have people to listen. We thank and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Annette. Well, God bless you. And we're just so excited. And, again, we ask the listeners to please tune in with us Monday through Friday at 1:30, share this. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv. But I just want to share with you who else is coming up also. We're going to have, really, on the 13th, we're going to have the Patriot Pastor Lear and our friend Luca Bocci from Tea Party Italy. How about that, Pastor Wayne, Miss Annette? I mean,
that's
Tea
awesome.
Party Italia. We
that's
have
awesome.
Them, and they're going to start having more time on the air with us because he is going to try to get a hold of some of the other Tea Partiers in Europe and Australia to join in and really let us know what's going on. So God is so good. He is just really enlarging our territory. And I know Dr. Cheyeste, Pastor Wayne, you're going to be on hopefully on the 22nd. That's a Wednesday. That's your day.
Yeah.
Dr. Cheyeste is going to be on. And Miss Annette, he's a former Iranian. As a matter of fact, he is one of those that helped oust the Shah of Iran. But he is now a man of God. He is so in love with Jesus Christ. And he wants to share the hope of peace. Where true peace can come from is Jesus Christ. So we're just thankful to the guests that you know God has gifted us. And I certainly love you, Miss Amanda. And I thank you for how you have just really, you know, you remind us that God is also in the little things. And so we pray that the listeners will give everything to God in prayer.
Diana, I had one more thing.
Yes.
On my story real quick. You know, after I'd had that encounter going home, and I felt like that was my guardian angel, I didn't get to tell the audience. When I went home, when I went back up to North Carolina and checked my mail, there was my check for my student loan and my minister's license. God provided.
Oh.
I forgot to tell that.
Oh.
See,
well,
the Lord
was
sending me through.
Yeah, huh? I thought you told me about that before, and I thought there was something else that I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
It's like I knew God did something, but wow, he did. Wow.
So that's why I feel like I gave my guardian angel a ride. You may say I'm crazy, but, you know, but you won't convince me that was not my guardian angel. Or at least somebody God sent to me, you know. But remember, be careful to entertain strangers.
We are a peculiar people.
Amen.
Yes. And I'd rather be a peculiar person that knows her Lord than a peculiar person that certainly doesn't know the Lord.
Well, I'm just peculiar enough to take the Bible as it says and not try to second guess it.
Oh, now, Pastor Wayne, but you're so learned. You know so much more. Anyway, that's what the world says. But we want to be simple, don't we? In that we are we have the faith of a little child, and I want to have that faith of a little child. Well, thank you, Miss Annette. I'm going to say Miss Annette and Pastor Wayne. Miss Barbara's not with us today, and I know she loves each of you, and so we just thank you for listening to City on Hill. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you, and may you find the peace that passes understanding and the joy that Paul had even when he was in prison. Sometimes, Pastor Wayne, Miss Annette, I almost feel like, am I in prison here? But I have the joy because he gives us that joy. So thank you, Beth, and thank you, listeners. May God bless you. God bless America. Goodbye.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.